picture, so I'd like to put it up there. There were others that went on that raced with us that day. Tim Taylor was among them, but he did not stick by for the picture. But we had Anita ran the half, and Leticia from El Dorado ran the half. My wife and I ran the full marathon. And then Dice K ran the 5K, and he actually won third place in his... Was it third place overall or third place overall? Or third place in his age? I think he won third place in his age category. So, exciting moment for us, for all of us. Everyone who was there that day, who finished something, was successful. Children, yes, I don't have the kids' pictures. I should have had the kids up there. We had kids, too. We had six kids that all finished a mile, and Paula that joined in the one-mile race. Oh, you didn't run the race. Okay. There are three stories I want to share with you from this race. One of them is the story of a 70-year-old gentleman who finished shortly after us, and he was running with a hunch in his back. And Mike probably saw him on the course. He was running kind of like this, down the course. But he crossed 26.2 miles, crossed the finish line. 4 hours and about 40 minutes, he crossed the finish line. There was another young man, two young men that were running with us for a time in the race. And they were running along, and we were running there with them. And I overheard after about mile 11, or around mile 10 or so, one of the one said to the other that... He said something like this: "You haven't run any farther than 9 miles, have you? Or you've only run 9 miles so far, right?" In other words, in his training, he had only run 9 miles. And from the 9 mile point to the end of the race is 17.2 miles. That's a lot longer than twice. That's, well, almost twice as far as he'd ever run once in his training. After mile 11 or 12, we were running, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw two young men stopped. One of them was sitting on the curb. Because he had not adequately prepared for the race, his race was over. Then we had another gentleman, and I'm going to jump to his picture here. This is Bob. Bob started in 2009 running marathons. He finished his first marathon in over 5 hours. And was very disappointed, so he said, "I'm going to try it again." So he tried again and didn't do so well. So he tried again. And when we were running with him that last Sunday, it was marathon number 87. So since 2009, Bob has run 87, as of today, 87. As of tomorrow, will be number 88. He's running the Kansas City, unless that's today. He's running the Kansas City Marathon, and that will be 88 marathons. He's run 42 this year. So amazing story of dedication and commitment, and the fact that when you put your mind to something, you can do more than is expected, more than you anticipate. I want to talk about a couple of things and what it takes to be ready to finish. Because after all, today's entitled Finishing. Just a little homily before we break for the communion service, and you'll see how this all ties into the Christian life. I've got a bag up here, and I want to pull a couple of things out. You see, as a Christian, or as a runner in the race, see, my wife had a bag of things. I'm going to get my own bag of things. There's an important point. The first thing you need to do as a if you're going to run a race, is you need to decide you're going to go. And so I have this little number. You need to decide you're going to go. The second thing you need to do if you're going to run a race is you need to put in the time. So you need to have your water. You need to have your something to wear. You need to have the other equipment that helps you. Put in the time. There's something to wear. Sometimes you got to start so early that it's dark, so you need light, or you have to go so late, you need light. You need shoes, and you need some energy. I want you to think about that this morning. So you need to decide you're going to be in the race. Second thing you need is you need to have proper equipment. The third thing you need to do is you need to put the equipment to use. And this is a marathon training, beginner marathon training. And Hal Higdon, a famous runner, has laid out what you need to do for 18 weeks in a row in order to be ready to cross the finish line. I was thinking Thursday morning as I'm thinking about the message, been thinking about it, what am I going to say on Communion Sabbath? What am I going to say this morning? And this is what I want to share with you. The next step is you need to run. You choose your day, you get the right equipment, you put in your time for those 18 weeks, and then you show up on race day and you cross the start line. That's the beginning of the race. The gentleman in the yellow shirt on the right won the race in less than 2 hours and 20 minutes. Whole 26 miles. You need to race. But you're the only person who can win the race. How many people do you think could finish my race Sunday morning? How many people could finish my race? No one. On Sunday morning, it's my race. And I'm the only one that can cross the finish line for me. My wife can't run my race. My best friend can't run my race. It's my race. The coach can't run my race. That guy in the yellow jersey can't run my race. I run my race. I finish my course. You see, there's something about every single person at starting line. If they prepared for the race, they're ready to finish. Because really the race is determined not by what happens in the miles along the way, but what's happened for the weeks ahead of the race. A race is not finished the day you start. The finishing of the race is determined at the starting line, not the finish line. Unless in this human world, sometimes accidents happen on the course, but outside of accidents, your ability to finish the race is already decided when you're standing at the starting line. Because everyone who puts in the time in the field is going to cross the finish. There's Bob. He's crossed the finish line 87 times because he's put in the time to cross that finish line. Having successfully finished my first marathon, I can tell you exactly how to get to the finish line. Tim can tell you how to get to the finish line. Anita can tell you how to get to the finish line. But do you know, if you want to cross that finish line and you want to cross that finish line successfully, do you know the only person that can cross that finish line is you? It's you. I want you to go with me in your Bibles to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Paul talks about racing in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You can see the running similarities, the racing similarities coming out in the text. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We got to know Bob because we were in the marathon. Bob was carrying a sign the entire time that read 4 hours and 30 minutes. He's called a pacer. And if my wife and I would stick with Bob, we would cross the finish line in 4 hours in 30 minutes. You know, Jesus Christ has crossed the finish line. He's run His course. And you and I, if we'll stick with the Savior, we'll finish our course. It's not really the point of what I want to say this morning, though. Let's go back to this one. The difference between finishing and coming up short is not magic. It's putting in the time to prepare and running the course with determination. By themselves, neither of these will take you to the finish line. Here's what I want to emphasize this morning. There are many, many believers, many Christians, many spectators, in fact, who want to finish the race. They watch you go by and they say, man, I wish I could be out there running that race. Some of them have watched DVDs on how to run and on marathoners and have been inspired by their stories. Others have sets of running books and exercise books, and some have gotten coaching at the Y. Some have been to a class on how to be a winner and how to get to the end. But you know what makes the difference between someone who crosses the finish line and someone who has all the knowledge about how to cross the finish line? It's someone who puts in the time in their shoes, on the trails, on the streets, before sunrise, after sunset, when it's hot outside, when it's cold outside. That's the person who can step up to the start line and have the finish line in sight. There are many, 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 many Christians who they've got friends. They're like those folks on the sidelines. They say, man, I want to be like him. He's a good Christian. I want to be like him. I want to be in the kingdom. They dream of the kingdom. They have collections of videos. They have books on how to get to the kingdom. They have the ultimate book on how to get to the kingdom. They've talked to other people on the journey. They have friends who are on the journey or in the race of life. But you know, there will be millions of people when Jesus comes who will not cross the finish line, not because they didn't have the resources to, but because they never put in the time to be ready. That's my message for you this morning. That a marathon is not about where you're at on race day. A marathon is where you're at 9 weeks before race day. A marathon finish is about where you are 11 weeks before race day. A marathon is about the 18 weeks of training. And race day just demonstrates that you put in the time to cross the finish line. Jesus coming will not be a miracle event where folks go from being lost to saved, but will be a moment where those who have put in the time to walk with Jesus early in the morning, toughest times in life, dark nights of life, they've put in the time. And when Jesus comes, it will merely demonstrate that their life has been a life where they have invested what it takes to be ready for Jesus to come. I wonder about your life. Would you end your story the way Paul does in 2 Timothy chapter 4? For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing. Paul was ready for the race. Paul had run the short races and the long races. Paul had prayed at hard times and easy times. Paul had prayed early in the morning and late at night. Paul had prayed when the sun shone hot and when the snows blew cold. Paul had put in the time to follow Jesus. Paul had put in the time to be ready to finish successfully. And when Paul came to the end of his race, Paul could say, I finished. I finished my course. I've run my race, and there's a crown laid up for me in heaven. And it's waiting for all those who love His appearing. You know, when it comes to marathons and running a marathon, there's something unique from a lot of other races. And that is that everybody who finishes gets a medal, and I have mine on this morning. I've got my race shirt on, just a reminder this morning. The crown of life is for every person here. There are not a few of us that are in the race that will take top 5 or top 20 and the rest of us will simply come short. It's a race that's limited only by a question of preparation. Have I put in my time to finish? And every finisher receives a finisher's medal, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give us at His coming. I want to make an appeal to you after I read this. One final statement this morning. The Christian life is a battle in march, but the victory to be gained is not won by human power. The field of conflict is the domain of the heart. The battle which we have to fight, the greatest battle that was ever fought by man, is the surrender of self to the will of God, the yielding of the heart to the sovereignty of love. We cannot of ourselves conquer the evil desires and habits that strive for the mastery. We cannot overcome the mighty foe who holds us in his thrall. God alone can give us the victory. He desires us to have mastery over ourselves, our own will and ways. But he cannot work in us without our consent and cooperation. The divine spirit works through the faculties and powers given to man. Our energies are required to cooperate with God. In other words, the race is not run because you're a special person or born in a special family, but because you put the time in to be ready to finish. You see, it's race day for all of us. But this day is not a race day for this is a piece of junk, really. It has sentimental value because I crossed the finish line with my wife and it's a milestone. But when it comes to things that are really valuable, it doesn't have any real lasting value. But the crown that we're in the race to win is the crown of immortal life, the crown of righteousness. And unless you and I have a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ, unless we're putting in the time with Jesus to cross that finish line, when Jesus comes, we'll come up short. When Jesus comes, we'll fail to finish because we haven't put in the training like that young man. We'll be caught by the sidelines, having never run far enough or trained with determination enough to cross the finish line. I want you to pull out the blue card in front of you, and as my wife plays briefly, I want you to prayerfully put on that card. What do you need to do? What change might you need to make in your life to cross that finish line? Are you putting in the time with Jesus, the time in your personal life, making the decisions you need to make so that you can finish and finish strong? And this is not something I'm going to have back. I want you to write down this commitment between you and the Lord. I want you to take this when you're finished. I want you to put it in a place where you can see it often. What changes, God, do you need to make to be in training, to be on the preparation for crossing that finish line successfully? So think about that. What is it? Is there something in your life that you need to surrender, that this morning as we have our foot washing service you can put behind you? Is it a new habit you need to develop? What might it be that will get you in the training program, will keep you in the race, that will put you in a position to cross and finish strong? When you've finished, you may get up from your seat. If you're a lady, you can head to the fellowship hall. If you're a gentleman, you can head to the hall down to the left. And in our youth classroom, there is a service for the gentlemen for foot washing. And in the library, if you'd like to share as couples, ladies and gentlemen can go as couples to the library. So when you're finished, put that card in a spot where you can refer to it again, and then simply make your way, ladies, to the fellowship hall, gentlemen, to the youth room, hall to the left, and couples in the library.